From the Paul Blart Mall Cop 2 studios in Los Angeles, it's time to go back to the films. Now here's your host, Tommy T. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for joining me for the 7th installment of Back to the Films, a podcast dedicated to the reminiscence and appreciation of films of old. I'm your host, Tommy T. Today we'll be discussing the film that, despite not even trying to be scary, became the best zombie movie ever made, Shaun of the Dead, directed by Edgar Wright and starring Simon Pegg and Nick Frost. Now before we begin, turn on those subtitles, because between the film's breakneck pace and British cast, we Americans can only catch about every other word. The film begins in a quaint North London pub known as the Winchester, appropriately named after the antique rifle that sits above its bar. In it, the titular character Sean unwittingly drinks away at a pint, while his girlfriend Liz tries talking to him, and his best friend Ed spams his cares and his wits away at an arcade game. Although she likes Ed's company, Liz expresses to Sean that,
"Just be nice if we could.
Fuck.
Spend a bit more time together.
Bollocks.
Just the two of us.
Cock it."
Sean tries bringing up the fact that other than himself, Ed doesn't have many friends. Liz isn't having any of it, however, as Sean did not plan anything special for their third anniversary, and despite having been together for 3 years, hasn't even met Sean's mom. Sean promises that he'll make a dinner reservation at a fancy restaurant the following day, and that he'll change for the better. After a hearty night's sleep and while getting ready for work, Sean gets his ass chewed out by Pete, a flatmate of Sean's alongside Ed, expressing that all Ed does is hold him back, and that if Ed doesn't get a job soon, he'll have to move out. Oh yeah, and the front door was left open again. Making his daily trek to a local convenience store stereotypically owned by an Indian guy, Sean is creeped out by some of the newspaper headlines he sees, as one of them reads mutilated remains and another makes mention of a superflu. While taking the bus to work, Sean spots a woman inexplicably fainting, which creeps him out even more. Sean works at a Radio Shack of sorts, and after a manager calls in sick, is the boss for the day. Despite being the longest tenured employee present, none of Sean's subordinates respect him, as they obnoxiously chew gum and answer phone calls while he tries talking to them. Sean's stepdad Philip, who himself is an asshole, pays Sean a visit at work, gratingly reminding Sean to pay his mother a visit, and to get her the flowers that he forgot to get her for Mother's Day. While buying the flowers, Sean is creeped out yet again when he spots a man attacking birds in a zombie-like manner, with said man mysteriously disappearing behind a set of passing cars. Making his way home, Sean runs into a woman named Yvonne, and despite having seen this film at least 5 times, I still have no idea who she is. During some small talk with Yvonne, Sean is reminded of that night's fancy dinner with Liz, realizing that he forgot to book a reservation. Calling on short notice, Sean is unable to get a booking, as this restaurant is the most popular fish stop in all London. Liz calls right afterwards, and with Sean unsure what to do, offers to take her to the Winchester. Liz answers Sean's offer by adamantly hanging up on his ass. Sean makes a visit to Liz's flat, with her flatmates David and Dee, David in particular, taking a couple of jabs at Sean. After a heated argument, Liz tells Sean that,
"Look, if I don't do something, I'm gonna end up in that pub every night for the rest of my life like those other sad old fuckers, drinking myself to death wondering what the hell happened."
And as Sean's bewilderment breaks up with him, in movie cliche number 47, Heavy Rainfall, Sean makes his way to the Winchester to drink his sorrows away, with Ed there to keep him company. Before entering the pub, however, Sean tosses the flowers that he bought for his mom into a nearby trash can. Getting properly thrashed, Sean and Ed leave the Winchester, and while drunkenly singing Melly Mel's White Lines, find a fellow Melly Mel fan to sing along with them. While blasting some electro, Sean and Ed's good vibes are disrupted when Pete grabs a record and chucks it out the window, because it's 4 a.m. and he's got work in the morning. After a heated argument consisting of Ed calling Pete a prick, and Pete saying that Ed ought to live in the shed, Pete tells Sean to
sort your fucking life out, mate!
But not without the duo noticing a bite mark in Pete's hand. Afterwards, Sean writes some goals on a whiteboard and passes out in the kitchen. Waking up with a nasty hangover, Sean makes his same daily trek to the local convenience store, failing to notice that things are just a little different on the journey. Returning home, Sean is made uneasy by what he sees on the telly.
"Although no one official is prepared to comment, religious groups are calling it Judgment Day. There's
panic on the streets of London.
As an increasing number of reports of
serious attacks on
people who
who are literally being eaten alive.
Ed reports that
there's a girl in the garden,
and after Sean confirms that there sure as shit is one, goes and investigates with Ed. Originally believing that she is drunk, the duo is startled by the girl's pale, lifeless eyes, including that she is on bath salts instead. Failing to heed their warnings, Sean shoves the girl, inadvertently impaling her with a metal pole stick from the ground.
Fuck off!
Getting back up with a clean cavity right through her sternum, Sean and Ed realize that this is beyond even bath salts, and retreat into their flat to come up with a plan, but not without running into a bigger zombie in the process.
Don't say that.
What?
That.
What?
That. The Z word. Don't say it.
Why not?
Because it's ridiculous.
All right.
Taking a spill on the couch to watch some news, Sean and Ed's news watching is interrupted when a Zed, is that better, makes itself a home through the front door. Stopping the would-be home invader dead in his tracks, the news anchor reports that the Zeds can be stopped by removing the head or destroying the brain, and finding the line to be a real zinger, repeats it again for dramatic effect.
By removing the head or destroying the brain.
With the two Zeds from earlier still prowling in the garden, Sean wants to stay inside but is encouraged by Ed to take them on, saying that they can beat the bastards. Gathering a basket of sharp cutlery and heavy kitchen appliances, Sean and Ed start throwing the articles of destruction at the Zeds' heads, but as a result of not playing any sports in their childhoods, fail to hit their targets. Spotting the record Pete chucked out the window the night prior, Ed throws at the larger of the two Zeds, hitting it and doing some critical damage to the boot. Realizing the records are a pretty good weapon against Zeds, the duo gather their record collection, but they're not about to throw away just any record, goddammit.
Purple Rain.
No.
Sign of the Times.
Definitely not.
The Batman soundtrack.
Throw it.
Okay. Oh, Dire Straits.
Throw it.
Failing to hit their targets yet again, Sean and Ed break into the shed that's always been locked for no apparent reason, and after obtaining some more appropriate Zed-killing instruments, finally take care of the two by bashing their brains in. Taking a breather on the couch, Sean and Ed are informed by the news that Zedification is a byproduct of being bitten by a Zed, and are advised to stay within the safety of their home. Calling his mom, Sean is relieved to hear that she is okay, and doesn't mind the news that his stepdad Philip has been bitten.
Mom, have you been bitten?
No, but Philip has.
Oh, okay. Has she been bitten?
No, Philip has.
Oh, okay.
With Sean wanting to ensure his mom and Liz's safety, because despite everything, he still loves Liz, he and Ed come up with a plan that results in all of them ending somewhere that is safe, familiar, and most importantly, where Ed can smoke.
Take calm. Go to Mum's, kill Phil.
Sorry.
Grab Liz, go to the Winchester, have a nice cold pint, and wait for all this to blow over.
Act 2. Journey to the bottom of the pint. Taking a whiz before heading off, Sean finds a very naked and very Zed version of Pete in the shower, as he got bit the night prior. Taking off in Pete's car, Ed hits someone while fiddling with a mixtape. But the duo is relieved to discover that the guy is already Zed.
Hello?
He's gonna be dead either way.
Ed, that's not the point.
Oh, thank God for that.
Arriving at his mom's house, Sean heads inside while Ed looks after the car, admiring Philip's Jag while he does so. Believing that he's already Zed, Sean winds up his trusty cricket bat to crack open Philip's head. But to Sean's relief and slight disappointment, Philip is still alive. Believing that he will eventually succumb to his bite wound, Sean tries convincing his mom to leave Philip behind, but she's having none of that, and Philip tags along anyway. With Ed intentionally wrecking Pete's car so they have to take the Jag, Philip is attacked by Zeds, with one of them biting a chunk out of his neck. Disposing of the Zeds, the group gather into the car and head to Liz's. Making his way into Liz's flat via the living room window, Sean tells Liz, David, and Dee that he's there to take them someplace safe, the Winchester that is, and reassures Liz that this is not all some grandiose attempt to win her back. With Ed picking them all up and referring to them as the N-word while doing so.
Sup, niggas?
The Magnificent Seven cram into Philip's Jag and take off for the Winchester. While on the way there, Philip succumbs to his wounds, and with his final words, tells Sean that.
I always loved you, Sean. And I always thought you had it in you to do well. You just need motivation, somebody to look up to. And I thought it could be me. just take care of your mom. That's a good boy.
You know, for being a comedy, that was low-key kind of sad. Trekking through some gardens, Sean and the crew run into Yvonne again, who, after hearing of their plan to hide out in the Winchester, seemingly disapproves of the idea, but is too nice to say anything about it. Spotting the pub in the distance, and being the overly critical prick that he is, David comments on the multiple garden fences separating them from their desired destination. Sean takes the opportunity to give him a real zinger in return.
What's the matter, David? I'm taking a shortcut before.
Having reached the final garden separating them from the Winchester, Sean notices that one of them is unaccounted for, that being his mom. Hearing her yells from the neighboring garden, Sean springboards over the fence and disposes of her attacker, impaling the Zed against a tree with a tetherball pole. Taking a look over the fence with the aid of a kiddie slide, Sean has a disgruntled report that there are lots of Zed separating them from the Winchester, with lots being a nicer way of saying shit ton. Regardless, Sean comes up with a brilliant plan whose brilliance lies in the simplicity. Just pretend to be Zeds and sneak past the dumb fuckers.
You're listening to Back to the Films. Follow me on Twitter at BackToTheFilmsP for updates on future episode and other wacky shenanigans. And check out my new website at backtothefilmsp.wordpress.com. And without further ado, let's get back to the titillating action.
With the aid of Di, who herself is an actress, and the Zed impaled to the tree, the crew perfect their Zed faces, before throwing themselves out of the proverbial pan and into the fire. Fortunately for Sean and everyone else, the Zeds in this film are slow and stupid enough for his plan to work, and reach the front door of the Winchester unscathed. While Sean tries to get the attention of the owners inside because the front door is locked, Ed takes an important business call.
Well, yeah, there's...
2 seconds.
Hey, Noodle.
You alright, mate?
Frustrated at his lack of self-preservation and common sense, Sean yells at Ed, telling Ed that all he's done is hold him back, which only draws the attention of the nearby Zeds. Designated as the character that makes bad decisions in a zombie movie, David breaks one of the Winchester's windows with a nearby trash can, ignoring Sean's assurance of a back entrance. In an effort to not have all the Zeds follow him in, Sean gets the horde's attention by acting as live bait and lead them elsewhere. Noticing the flowers that he bought her and eventually threw in the trash, Sean's mom picks them up off the floor as the group makes their way into the pub. Act 3. 99 reanimated heads on the wall. While Sean is gone, David takes the opportunity to criticize his plan of hiding out in the Winchester. Despite bringing up valid concerns like food and safety, David's a total asshole about it, leading Liz to tell him to shut it and that they'll make the most out of their predicaments. To everyone's happiness and surprise, besides David's that is, Sean returns unscathed, entering through the back entrance he tried telling David about before he busted a hole through the window. Realizing that the power is out and that they don't have a plan, the group barricade the window and wait things out. Later that night, the streetlights outside come back on. In an effort to catch up on some of their favorite TV programs, Sean goes into the back room to flip the circuit breakers. While doing so, however, Sean is horrified to discover that the Zeds he thought he gave the slip followed him back, congregated outside the back door all group photo-like. Sean tells Liz of his horrifying discovery in the back room, and both agree that the best thing to do is to stay as quiet as possible. Before they can tell the rest of the group to do so, however, Ed starts playing a noisy arcade game, and his cascading tokens and flashing lights garner the attention of every nearby Zed. All hell breaks loose, as the group is surrounded by Zeds. A Zedified version of the Winchester's owner appears out of thin air, and Queen's Don't Stop Me Now starts playing on the jukebox.
Don't stop me now.
While David tries showing off the jukebox, Sean, Ed, and Liz whack at the pub's owner to the beat of the classic song. In a sequence of events consisting of Liz giving the Zed owner frosted tips with the fire extinguisher, Ed handing Sean the rifle behind the bar, and Dee accidentally putting a dart into Sean's head. Sean shoves the pub owner to the jukebox, literally killing two birds with one stone. Sean didn't try shooting the owner as he believes the rifle's deactivated, but it totally isn't.
Ed, for the last time... I fucking knew it!
With none of them having any real experience shooting a firearm, Sean concludes that it'd be best if he shot the rifle, while the rest of the group acts as guides. Leading her to a safer place, Sean's mom tells Liz that it's lovely to finally meet her, and gives her a necklace, one that Sean's real dad gave her years ago. Acting strange, Liz pulls up her sleeve to discover that Sean's mom is hiding a bite wound, as she was bitten earlier when they were crossing the gardens. After shooting a few rounds and taking out a couple of Zeds, Sean realizes that something's wrong with his mom, and hands the rifle to Dee, who herself hands the rifle to David. Realizing that his mom has been bitten, there is nothing that Sean can do, as she succumbs to her wounds shortly afterwards. Before doing so, however, she thanks Sean for the flowers that he bought her. Being an insensitive twat with terrible timing, David insists on shooting Sean's mom right after her death, leading to an argument where it's revealed that not only does David hate Sean and love Liz, but that the only reason he ended up with Di in the first place was to get closer to Liz. With Sean's mom rising from the dead, David hands the rifle to Sean, and with it, ends her suffering as a Zed. Displaying insensitivity and terrible timing yet again, Sean punches David, with David trying to shoot him in response. David tries leaving the Winchester, knowing full well that doing so will lead to his surefire death. Standing next to a window, David is about to apologize to Sean when the Zeds break through and grab hold of him. The group grabs hold of David's legs, but to no avail, as the Zeds start digging through his stomach like fat kids through a bag of cheese puffs. While using one of his detached legs as a weapon, Dee opens the door, screaming, "I'm coming for you, David," all the while, because despite seeing David's head ripped clean from his body, there's a chance he's still alive, goddammit. Sean, Ed, and Liz are officially fucked, as Zeds surround them in every direction. Sean holds them off with the rifle as long as he can, while Ed makes some Molotov cocktails. See, teachers? You can learn a thing or two from Grand Theft Auto. Still as naked as he was earlier, Zedified Pete shows up, and wanting to choke him out or something, Ed puts him in a sleeper hold. This proves not to be a good idea as one would expect, as Pete takes a chunk out of Ed's forearm. Having gotten better at this shooting thing, Sean puts a bullet through Pete's eye.
Wait! I said leave him alone!
With Ed surely Zed food by now, Sean and Liz are forced to retreat behind the bar. While Sean calls his name, Ed leaps over the bar, somehow, some way, surviving the onslaught. Sean douses the bar with brandy and sets it ablaze, holding off their attackers for a little while longer. This move of self-preservation would prove to be a miscalculation, however, as Sean left the bullets on the top of the bar, rendering them unattainable. Surrounded and with no other options, Ed suggests retreating into the cellar underneath the bar, as there's supposed to be a barrel hatch leading to the street. After making their way down into the dark cellar, Sean is unable to open the barrel hatch, leaving them trapped. Feeling as if he left everyone down, Sean begins to cry, with Liz reassuring him that the fact that he tried is all that matters. With only two bullets left, Sean and Liz deliberate the order in which to kill themselves, as Ed tells them to save the bullets for themselves. With Sean giving up smoking the day prior, one of his many broken promises of self-betterment to Liz, she suggests the two of them have one last cig before meeting their maker. Striking the lighter, Sean and Liz notice an illuminated switch operating the barrel hatch on the wall, realizing there's still hope. See, kids? Smoking can make you live longer. Despite being mortally wounded, Sean encourages Ed to come with them, but tells Sean to leave him, as all he'll do is hold him back. Sean apologizes to Ed for yelling him earlier, and Ed apologizes for the nasty stink bomb.
I'm sorry, Sean.
Oh, God! That's not funny!
Stop doing it when you stop laughing.
I'm not laughing.
With that, the two besties say their heartfelt goodbyes, and Sean and Liz take the barrel hatch up to the street, uncertain of what will become of them. With Liz and Sean ready to take on the world together, the military comes in out of fucking nowhere and starts mowing down Zeds, similar to a suburban dad mowing down grass while wearing his favorite jean shorts and white New Balance sneakers. Yvonne peers again, and between her take-charge attitude and cool camo jacket, leads me to assume that she was the one leading the military strike. Realizing that they'll survive after all, Sean and Liz hold hands and the screen fades to black. Fast forward 6 months later, and we see Liz watching the telly in Sean's flat. From it, we learn that the Zeds have been handled, and that life continues on rather normally for those fortunate enough to survive Z-Day. Wait, Z-Day? You're telling me that the UK was able to end the zombie apocalypse in a single day, but then America is still struggling to contain COVID-19 7 months after its initial spread? Sounds about right. After a hearty night's sleep, Sean and Liz make plans for the day. Before beginning their adventures, however, Sean takes a spill in the garden for a bit. It turns out that Sean keeps a reanimated, albeit zedified version of Ed chained up in the shed, where they play video games together. Although this is sad and borderline cruel upon deeper consideration, Edgar Wright doesn't want us thinking that. It plays Queen's You're My Best Friend in the film on a positive, upbeat note. Thank you for listening to Back to the Films. Join me next time, where I'll be discussing the film which proved that Henry Cavill is too damn handsome for every role he's casted in, Enola Holmes.